Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Ammo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay?
What's going on?
I'm doing all right, and I hope, the legion of sports legends fans are out there, are doing all right as well. This is, June the 2nd, 2013. And what we do on this show, folks, we talk sports, entertainment, everything else. The number is, of course, 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk sports, entertainment. Here's the stuff that we're going to talk about. We're going to lead off with the Mets and the Yankees. We're going to usually we talk about what's going the current series that's going on, which is, of course, Mets. Got swept by the Marlins, and of course the Yankees are going to try to finish go against the Red Sox and try to get that rubber game. But before we do that, we're going to talk the Subway Series. Then we're going to shift to the Rangers news, as John Tortorella officially got fired earlier this week. Also, we're going to talk NBA news, some free agency news with the Knicks, and, you know, as usual, we talk a little sports entertainment. And, of course...
Did you just say the Mets got swept by the Marlins? I did not just hear that.
Yes, you just heard that, and we're gonna get right into that. We're gonna give a little recap of you know, the Subway Series, and then we're gonna go right into this current series, the one with the Mets and the one with the Marlins, and you against the Red Sox. But without further ado, you know, let's just jump right into the Subway Series. And
what series it was.
Oh yeah, it was a historic series. The improbable has happened, basically. 10 years after the Yankees swept the Mets in the Subway Series, back when it was a 6-game series. Hey Mac, is that your phone that's making that feedback in the background?
I think that's my air conditioner. Are you hearing air?
Oh, I'm not hearing it. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, yeah, it's my air conditioner blowing.
All right, so good then. Never mind. Let me get back to my point. Okay. Yes, 10 years after 10 years after the Yankees swept the Mets in the Subway Series, the Mets returned the favor. First game, you know, Yankees were up. It was 1-0. Wright tied the game in the seventh with a home run, and then afterwards, Daniel Murphy, he hits the game-winning RBI single. Then the highlight of the Subway Series was, of course, Matt Harvey versus Kuroda, I think, who was pitching that game,
mm-hmm.
And they both were dealing.
Yeah, that was a pitching. That was a great pitching matchup right there. It was a low-scoring game.
Oh, yeah. And you thought it would have been the story would have been all about Harvey and Kuroda, as it should have, but something even more surprising happened. I mean, Harvey was striking out 10 guys, you know, a typical day in the office for him. But the more surprising thing is that, you know, the Yankees were up 1-0,
yep,
with Mariano Rivera on the mound. And, you know, that's usually, you know, automatic, you know, 1-2-3. And coming into that game, Mariano was 18 for 18. And in his last season, and plus before that game, he was honored by the Mets. You know, he threw out the ceremonial first pitch,
mm-hmm,
to John Franco. So basically, the Yankee all-time save leader and MLB all-time save leader threw the first pitch to John Franco, who is the Mets all-time save leader. A nice,
yep,
gesture. So, basically, a weird scenario happened. And I don't know, I guess Elias Sports Bureau or one of those expert, historical statisticians could tell us that, if someone's listening. How often does an active pitcher, throws out the first pitch, the ceremonial first pitch, and then also throws the last pitch of the game? I don't think that's ever happened before.
I never heard of something like that.
I would assume never. But here's one thing that never happened up until that point. Mariano, he was perfect up until that point in his last season of his career, and he gave up 3 consecutive base hits, which were highlighted by David Wright. No, not David Wright. I'm getting ahead of myself. Daniel Murphy, on the third pitch, he gives up a leadoff double to Murphy. And then on the sixth pitch, he gives up an RBI double to Wright, which scores Murphy to tie the run. And we're up until this point, Mariano's been perfect. So that's his first blown save. So then, on the ninth pitch, Duda gets a base hit too, and that was the walk off hit.
Yeah, uncharacteristic of Mariano. He it seemed like he didn't have it. He didn't even get he didn't even get to, you know, get it out at all.
Yeah, man. I mean, shoot, before the Metallica could sing "Enter the Sandman," the game was over.
Yeah, pretty much.
And basically, that was the first time in his career that he blew a save without even recording it out in his, you know, brilliant career.
Yeah.
So well, I mean that.
There's always a first time for everything, so.
Yeah. And Mariano, now he's his career-wise, he's 4-4-4, and I think his save record against the Mets now is like, what, 20-24? And I think Mets is one of the top hitting teams career-wise against him, maybe even the top.
Yeah, I don't know, something's going on where he's the Mets, he doesn't do well against, maybe it's the rivalry thing. He doesn't do well in rivalries. Same thing goes with the Red Sox and Angels.
Oh, yeah.
There's issues with those teams.
Right. Because Red Sox and the Angels usually are the top two teams. Obviously, they're in the top three now. But Mets have, you know, suddenly they've, you know, after 2000, you know, they've really become, you know, a thorn in Mariano's side. Of course, before that, they did have that epic Matt Franco walk-off game, which ended in a similar fashion at Shea Stadium in 99. But, I mean, you know, it was a, you know, a very memorable game to cap up the Subway Series. And, of course, the Wednesday night was Mets basically, in a rare fashion, out-hit the Yankees, you know, by the final score of 9-4. And then the last game of the series was, I'm trying to remember who pitched that game, Dylan G. He had his best start of his career, you know, striking out 12, which was a career high. And I think he only gave up one run, which was the Cano home run. And Terry Collins made the most dumbest move. Dylan G only threw like 88 pitches. And he took him out with one out in the eighth inning after he struck out the guy. I don't remember which guy he faced. Because Ichiro was supposed to come up. I forgot who it was. Was it Hafner? I forgot who. No, it wasn't Hafner. It was
one of the left-handed hitters.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who the heck it was. Can't even remember who it was for the moment. But anyway, that was a crazy move, but fortunately for the Mets, they brought in Rice, which, you know, he dominated the Yankees when he came in. And Parnell, who I think should be in the All-Star game, you know, he basically dominated the Yankees and, you know, the history happened. Mets finally swept the Yankees.
Yeah, you guys finally did it. Finally swept the series from us. You know, and I give you guys credit. You pitch well. You hit, you got some timely hitting. You know, Yankees, you know, they're missing a lot of plays right now. But there's no excuses, you know. Yankees had come into this series with one of the best records in baseball. And, yeah, they had some veteran guys who were playing good up until this past week. But right now they're slumping. You know, they've lost, I think, five of their last six games. So, you know, they're in a slump right now. So you could blame their poor performance against the Mets on their lack of hitting, although they pitched really well. You know, the pitching was really good, but they didn't get any type of – they didn't really hit well in that series at all. So you can blame it on that. You can blame it on injuries and the fact that the Mets, you know, they step up their game against the Yankees, you know?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And, you know, as giddy as I was, you know, about Mets, you know, winning, you know, finally sweeping the series, you know, dominating the Yankees, you know, but, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, you guys were missing a lot of guys. You know, you were missing Jeter, you know, A-Rod, which nobody misses, Granderson, let me see, I'm trying to think,
Yucalis,
Teixeira, you know, you name it, practically everybody.
A-Rod.
Yeah, we said A-Rod already. But practically everybody was on DL, but hey, you know, you got to play the guys who was on the schedule. And a few years ago, I don't remember what year that was. It was either last year or 2011, Wright got hurt. I think it was 2011. Wright got hit. I think this was right after Kane hit Wright in the head.
Yeah.
And basically, Mets had no name guys, and of course, Yankees just swept the Mets. I think in at Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium. So, you know, you got to play the guys, you know, who's in your schedule.
True.
But like I was saying, as happy as I was to finally sweep you guys, that's how horrible I feel after the Marlins series. Because if Charles Dickens' book ever rang true today, it was the best of times, against the Yankees. And now it is the worst of times against the Marlins, as the Marlins just swept the Mets out of Miami.
How the hell does that happen?
And you know what was funny? After the sweep, Colin McHugh, you know, the guy who on Twitter he posted that how, you know, you could call the Mets the New York sanitation department because they swept the Yankees from Queens to the Bronx. And afterwards, as me and you were talking about it yesterday, you know, as usual, when people tweet something that people, you know, deem controversial on Twitter, obviously he did, of course, later delete it. But once you put it on Twitter or any of these internet stuff, people remember. So
the guy didn't even play the whole series, man.
Exactly.
He wrote that.
I mean, the only appearance he had was basically he was warming up in the pen in that series. But with Nice, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed what he said. It was funny, but all seriousness, I mean, if you're going to talk smack, you got to back it up. You got to do something. You know what I'm saying? Either you talk smack before the game, you know, the series happened, or actually do something.
Exactly.
And then talk trash. But this guy, man, he had a chance to redeem himself. Friday, of course, we lost. The Mets lost to the Marlins coming into the series. They were actually, I think, three games behind the 62 Mets.
Mm.
And, you know, ineptitude. But this team, but unfortunately, when they see the Mets, you know, ever since 2007, man, they just have our number for some reason. These no-name guys.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
But, yeah, but back to my point. So after Friday night, Colin McHugh, yes, that same Colin McHugh, the guy you never even knew existed until I told you who he was. He had a cup of coffee last year. In his first start last year, he had a 7-inning, like a 10 strikeout game. So he had no run support. And as soon as they took him out, the Mets lost that game last year. That was his major league debut.
Yeah.
But after that, for his major league start, he's just been losing games. He hasn't even gotten out of the fifth inning. So fast forward to yesterday, man, this guy, man, he stunk up the joint yesterday. And basically, you know, he made himself look like an even bigger fool.
Wow.
So then we go to today, the Mets, you know, trying to avoid the sweep, the same room they beat the Yankees with, you know, they're trying to avoid the Marlins, you know, from using the same room on them. But unfortunately, Matt Harvey, he didn't have his best stuff. He gave up four runs, but with unlikely power from the Mets, you know, from home runs from Duda, Bird, and Davis, they were able to tie up the game. But then afterwards, when they went to the bullpen with Scott Everyday Rice, who's usually dominant, as the Yankees saw in the Subway Series, he got overcooked with all his with them overusing him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, Rice got cooked, and the Mets bullpen just gave up runs, and Hawkins gave up a 3-run home run to Dobbs, his second home run of the year. Guess which team he gave up his first home run of the year against? Take a lucky guess. I'll give you a clue. It's in the National League.
Phillies?
Nope, but you're getting warmer.
Mets?
That's correct.
Again.
Yep. He hit the Mets again. And there you go, folks. After the Mets swept the Yankees, I guess they're right what they say about karma. So basically we got it back, and now we're going to talk about the Yankees. As the Yankees, they after they rebounded, they got Teixeira back on Friday, and
yeah.
Yukalis, and of course they would win the game by the score 4-3.
Yeah, I think we won 4-1 on Friday behind who pitched that game up?
Sabathia.
CeCe, yeah, he had 10 strikeouts. His first one over a month, and he looked like the old CeCe, pitched really good, struck out 10, and we ended up winning 4-1. Yesterday was a horrible game.
Oh, yeah,
11-1. Joe Hughes gave up 5 runs in the third inning. Mike
Nestle
hit a grand slam. Yeah. And our bullpen got even torched in the eighth and ninth inning, and Boston Red Sox ended up winning that game 11-1. And tonight we're going to have to try and win this series behind Kuroda. He's going to pitch against the undefeated Clay Buchholz. So it's going to be a good matchup tonight on ESPN.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely going to be a game, to keep an eye on, as Yankees, and Red Sox, they're both trying to get that rubber game.
Yep. We're trying to stay atop the AL East.
And the other big news of this week was, I believe it was Monday afternoon, they announced that the Rangers coach, John Tortorella, he got fired.
Yeah, I did hear about that. It's unfortunate.
Well, he's a good coach. I mean, he won the Stanley Cup years ago with Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
But the guy wore thin, with the media and with the way how he treated people.
Yeah.
The way how he treated the media and his players,
yeah.
Arguing with people, cursing in press conference. I mean, it wore thin. I mean, when you could be a jerk when your team is winning, sure he got the team to the playoffs, but they had a huge expectation. You got, Lundqvist, who's in his prime, playing at an elite level.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they can't get over the hump. They can't even go to the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
And with the very minimum with this guy talent.
Yeah.
So, hello?
Huh?
Oh, I thought you were saying something.
I was. You didn't hear me?
No, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, no, I was saying that, like you said, he was a good coach. It's unfortunate that, he was fired. I mean, he did lead them to the playoffs, including the Eastern Conference Finals last year against the Devils,
right,
in which they ended up losing. But
right,
like you said, his antics with the media and his, some of his bad attitudes and his treatment of players, I mean, that's what cost him his job in the end. And hopefully we can get someone just as successful in leading us to the playoffs he did. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And another thing that led to his downfall is because, the team couldn't consistently score goals, especially, in the power play opportunities. And here's the guys who they say who are the potential replacements. They have Dave Tippett, who's a coach with the Coyote, but they can't speak to him, until his contract expires at the end of this month.
Right.
There's Lindsey Ruff. There's another coach, Vigneault. And also Wayne Gretzky, the former Edmonton Oiler and former Ranger. And of course, the captain of the Stanley Cup team, his former teammate, Mark Messier, he's in the hat too, to try to be the head coach. And I think if they're not gonna go after a guy who has experience, you know, they should give Messier a shot.
I think he'd be a good fit.
I know he doesn't have any NHL coaching experience. He did coach, he did coach. I think in the world, I forgot what they call it. You know, like the, it's like the Olympics. I forgot what they call it. World Hockey Club. I forgot what they called it. But like that tournament, they had like this Olympic type thing. You know what I mean? It was like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about. I forgot it too.
But it's for the hockey. I forgot what they call it.
Yeah, I can't think of it myself right now either.
So he has some coaching experience, but you know, I'd like to see him, you know, give him a shot.
Yeah, me too. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, definitely. But let's switch gears finally to, you know, WWE, man. This Monday, it was pretty boring. The best thing that happened was the Bret Hart Appreciation Night, but unfortunately, if you didn't have the WWE app, you know, you were basically screwed.
Yeah, man, that's messed up, man. It's not, you know, although there's a lot of people that have smartphones now.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, like, you know, some people who don't have smartphones yet, and they can't download the app, you know, so they have to wait until it gets downloaded to YouTube to watch it.
Yep, basically. And I read somewhere that basically, you know, WWE, you know, since, you know, a lot of people, you know, downloaded the app, you know, so they could see the, you know, Bret Hart thing. And a lot of people watched it, you know. Now they're thinking about making this, you know, they're going to do this more often, that basically they're going to have, you know, shows after Raw on the app, which I think is a dumb idea. Oh, wait, what were you saying? The phone messed up again.
Oh, no, I was saying that's a dumb idea.
Yeah, you keep cutting off. All I heard you say is it's a dumb, and then it cuts off.
I said that's a dumb idea. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. Yeah, okay. I totally agree with you. You know, come on. I mean, they should be working on improving the show and not, you know, their app.
It's messed up, man.
You know, I don't mind them using the app, you know, so people can listen to interviews or whatnot. Was going on backstage, but I mean, when you're thinking about putting stuff on your app, more concerned with putting stuff on the app instead of the product, I mean,
yeah,
there's a problem.
I mean, and like I said, you know, most people don't have smartphones, you know, and they have to wait till YouTube, until it gets downloaded to YouTube to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Nothing major really happened on Raw or SmackDown that I could think of.
Man, that Bret Hart Appreciation, it was the best thing about Raw.
That was the best thing that happened on all week. Shoot. I mean, the only second good thing that happened was, you know, the Shield, you know, fighting separately, you know, against, you know, the Team Hell No and Randy Orton fighting against Dean Ambrose. Other than that, there was nothing on WWE.
Yeah, it was a dead week.
Exactly. And, TNA, they have the Slammiversary event. Holy Ray is going to fight against Sting. And if Sting loses, he'll never challenge for the TNA World title anymore. And if Holy Ray wins, he retains the title.
I'm going with Sting on this one.
Going a little bit while longer. Saturday is 11 p.m. And check out the show Sundays as usual on 6 p.m.